This morning I'd like to direct your attention to one verse from the Sermon of St. Peter, Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus God raised up, and of that is all our witnesses. So far the word of the Lord. This ends in Christ Jesus. This year is the 10th anniversary of Watergate, and in the past few weeks, we've heard a great deal about that breaking and the profound influence that it had on our recent history. One of the greatest evaluations of Nancy First Line is one which has come from Charles W. Colson, who wrote, "Virtually every reporter has asked me to describe the single most significant lasting lesson of Watergate. To that ultimate question I have wanted, but have not quite dared to reply, well, of course, to prove that Jesus actually was resurrected from the grave." Colson then goes on to point out that following the Watergate breakthrough, a whole procession of individuals came to confess their involvement. At first, they sought to deny and to cover up. But finally, in order to save their own skin, they freely admitted that what they had done and how they had been involved. Colson's point is that the behavior of the disciples following the resurrection was quite different. He says, "The fact that man in his normal state can be made to renounce his belief just as readily as Peter renounced Jesus before the resurrection is true. But as the same Peter discovered after the resurrection, there is a power beyond man that causes him to forsake all. It cannot be denied, because it is the power of the Creator God of heaven and earth, who revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Nothing less than a witness so awesomely powerful as the resurrected Christ, appearing to the 11 apostles and to Paul, could cause those men to maintain to their dying witness that Jesus is the Lord." So far, Charles Colson. I've never been impressed with the various proofs that have been offered for the veracity of the biblical account. I've been concerned because ultimately my trust depends on faith, which the Holy Spirit has created in my heart, not on historical evidence. For instance, I've been rather skeptical of the attempt to uncover the act, and therefore to demonstrate to the world the historicity of the flood of time. And yet St. Luke talks about the many infallible proofs of the resurrection. And it's indeed true that these proofs have their place, not in bringing us to accept the biblical account, but rather in supporting our acceptance once we have received it by faith. In other words, they are not the cornerstone of our belief, but rather a part of the superstructure. They show us that the faith that we have is not unwarranted, and that it does not fly in the face of demonstrable facts. That certainly is the case in the story of the resurrection. Our text reports to us St. Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. It's a different Peter on that post-resurrection day from the Peter who denied his Lord. And it's a different Peter from the Peter who was constantly blustering and putting his foot into his mouth during our Lord's public ministry. This man has been a witness of the resurrection. And that fact made all the difference in the world. St. Luke was right. There are many infallible proofs of the historical event on which the saints that you and I profess walk. The disciples did not expect Jesus to rise. For then faith had died on Good Friday. They still had not been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and they did not understand the Messianic kingdom. The turn of events of Holy Week dismayed them. They had expected the Messiah to assume the leadership in Israel and then to take over the Roman Empire. Instead, he had died on Mount Calvary, and his body had been laid in the tomb. So disconcerted were the disciples that none of them, except John, was present on Mount Calvary, and none attended our Lord's burial. They were afraid for their own lives, and so they had barred themselves behind locked doors. The things that have found the courage to steal his body and to concoct the story of his resurrection is unthinkable. And then there was the guard at the tomb. These Roman soldiers were there because the Jewish leaders, in contrast to the disciples, had understood our Lord's prediction of his resurrection. The Jewish leaders could only assume that arrangements had been made in advance to steal the body and to proclaim that he had risen. They wanted to be sure that this would not happen, and so they arranged for the guard. Unwittingly, they actually made arrangements which authenticated the resurrection. The fact that the Jewish leaders did not attempt to attack the resurrection at its most vulnerable point by producing the still dead body of Jesus is evidence that the resurrection took place. Our text, in which Peter clearly proclaimed the resurrection and made it the center of his sermon, took place just 50 days after the resurrection. If Jesus were indeed still in the tomb, all that the Jewish leaders would have needed to do was to produce the still dead body of Jesus. They would then have pulled the rug out completely from under Peter and the other resurrection and the other Pentecost preachers. They would have shown clearly that this story was untrue. And yet we never find them attacking the story at its most vulnerable point. And certainly, a powerful testimony to the resurrection is that to which Colson alludes. These men were witnesses, and they testified to the intimacy of this event, even to their death. They behaved participantly from the Watergate conspirators. We can understand that a man might try to cover up a lie, but that he would attempt to authenticate a lie by dying is unthinkable. The witness that the disciples brought to the intimacy of the resurrection is certainly one of the many infallible proofs. And it is to this historical event, the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you and I, too, are to be witnesses. It's no secret that there are a great many pressures to water down this proclamation because it is not a popular doctrine. To believe that Jesus Christ rose physically from the dead is in many circles to declare oneself to be naive. The age of miracles is past. Indeed, many will tell you that it never occurred. Certainly, the dead do not rise. And yet, that's what the scripture proclaims. And that's the center of the faith to which you and I witness. To do so, and to continue to do so, requires the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Colson was right. We believe not of our own power, but because of a power beyond man. The power of the Creator God of heaven and earth who revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we come here this time, once more to learn, to grow in our knowledge of the Scriptures and of the way of the Lord. The center of these Scriptures and the center of that way is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to which also we are witnesses. Amen.